Is it time for a podcast already?
Check 1 2, check 1 2, check 1 2, check 1 2.
You shit that notebook to the wild.
I didn't know that.
Well, hello, everybody. Thanks for stopping by tonight with the Garlic Jar Podcast Show. Once again, I'm here tonight. I have Jenna with me, and I have Zach.
Hello.
Real early. Yes, guys, we're actually doing this real early tonight, aren't we?
Hello there. Yes.
Yeah. Good start to the evening. Man, I have to tell you, I mean, the shenanigans that go on in this house before I could actually get going to a podcast. Cats would be banging at my door. I'm contemplating about recording a podcast out in my car. Happy Saturday. All right. So, you know, this is like a point in time, too. I also like to kind of throw in a little bit of a shenanigan of my own here. You know, we're the podcast show that just wants to remind you that you should be careful out there in the event that you run into any city destructive monsters as tall as skyscrapers. And with that being said, let's just remind that it's always a good idea to bring an extra pair of underwear in your travels. Okay. So with that being said tonight,
what?
We got some really interesting topics going on. And we're going to start with a little bit of anniversary. We're going to deep dive into some, I guess you could say, generic pop culture, something that we haven't done in quite a while. Usually in the beginning, we used to throw some stuff out there on social media. Jen and I would go into Twitter. We'd go over, we'd say, all right, this happened in this day, or we'd answer a question that came in maybe from an online user or an email from one of the students. And I just kind of felt like, you know, we didn't acknowledge this last week, guys, but did you know that Smells Like Teen Spirit, it was released, well, it'd be 1991 this year. Well, if we looked at it, it's what is that, 30 years? That's crazy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely crazy. And of course, I mean, it's 25 years now, too. If we go back to April 8th, Kurt Cobain died. We know that Cobain was a huge, huge, huge figure in grunge rock. And obviously the lead man of Nirvana. And I got into this conversation this week. Matt, you'll probably like this. Washkush, if you're listening. You know, we started talking about top bands, like rankings and stuff like that. And I said, you know, I said the one thing that you have to look at with Nirvana, you know, they captivated, and that was a band of its time coming right out of late 80s into early 90s that really transformed rock. Their sound was so much different. It paved the road for a lot of different other people in that category of music. Grunge, right? And that is forever a staple in music for the 90s that I always loved. I still will love. I still find myself headbanging to the infamous song of Smells Like Teen Spirit. You can't just help it. It's that catchy song. It's that one you'll always know and you'll never get tired of. But, of course, some people kind of feel like, eh, they're overrated. What do you guys think? I mean, I know that you've probably seen that online so many times come up in discussion. Do you guys think Nirvana is an overrated band?
Negative.
I can't deem them that, you know? Like, it's just... Like, me doing that, that's like saying that the Beatles were overrated of the 60s, you know? I mean, it was their, I don't know. You just can't say that. But yeah, moving on. I mean, just some little things there. And then how about, yo, 109 years that the Titanic is down in the water. That's crazy, too. April 12th. Anyway, moving on. Jen, we have some really cool topics, so you want to throw everybody the agenda?
Yeah, so we're going to do a quick little anniversary section, which Matt has already started, and then our main events for the evening's discussion are going to be Godzilla vs. Kong, the, mm-hmm. you know, Apex Titan challenge itself, and the last few episodes of Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, before we start talking, how's everybody's weekend?
It's all right, working.
Yeah, work, school.
Yep.
Same shit, right?
Same shit, different day.
I see, I love that saying. Same shit, just a different pile. Or same shit, same day. Yeah. So that's all good stuff. Zach, how about you, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Okay. Just checking in on you over there.
Yeah, I'm still alive. It's fine.
That's good.
Perfect.
That's good.
All right.
Can't say so, I can see straight, but I'm all right.
Are we eating anything? Are we drinking anything right now?
What
good libations are we handling this evening?
Jim Beam Vanilla and Jim Beam Peach Sprite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm about three glasses in, okay. So it's fixing to be a good night.
Hey, that's okay. If anybody could hear over here, I got the mobile six pack with me right now after the shenanigans here. and I got a nice glass of the Jim Beam Vanilla, which was a really good recommendation there from Zach that past week.
You're welcome.
It's really addicting. Like, I mean, there's an interesting aftertaste to it that I remember when I said like the honey was good.
Mm-hmm.
There's a unique aftertaste that you get on the vanilla, and it just sticks to you. You know, it just stays on the palate really good.
Yep. Well, I'm actually going to get more right now, so continue.
Perfect. Perfect. And, yeah, I got some cheese tits or cheese nips here. Cheese nips.
Cheez-Its?
Cheez-Its.
Good Lord.
God damn it. Remind me to edit that out. Oh, God. Okay. Yep. Moving on.
Rewind. All right, Garth. I'm just going to dive right into my first rant of the evening.
Please.
So this week has been like, not this week exactly, but like the month of April has been really hyped up on HBO because it's the 10th anniversary of, you know, the Game of Thrones premiere. Which, like, so HBO has been doing like nonstop marathons of like Game of Thrones, and I
saw that mentioned on Twitter, by the way.
Yeah, I can't bring myself to watch it again.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why?
All right, so Weiss and Benioff, as I have, you know, mentioned on this podcast before.
Uh-huh.
So, like, what I think was in their stupid little brains at the time is, like, you know, like, they signed on for, like, after Game of Thrones, like, bigger and better things. So, towards the end of Game of Thrones, the seasons went from 10 episodes to, like, 7 or 8 episodes and, like, 6 episodes. So, like, there wasn't enough time for everything. So, like, here's my thing. I'm okay with how it ended. I'm not okay with how we got there. Because in the later seasons, everything that made Game of Thrones great was missing. It was like action. Like, it was okay. Like, you know, there was a lot of action. There was, like, you know, dragons and wars and crazy mm-hmm. things, like, which is fine. But so, like, some of the best episodes of Game of Thrones are when, like, the characters are sitting down and have, like, a 20-minute conversation.
I gotcha.
And so what they did was they took out all of that, except for, like, one of the episodes in the final season. And that was actually one of, like, the best episodes of the season. It was, like, mm-hmm. the night before, like, the Night King battle. And I just... And there was also, like, so, like, I don't know if people are listening that haven't seen the show. Like, I know you guys haven't seen it all the way through, but, like.
Not to interrupt, but I've never seen it.
Yes, I assume so. I know Matt started it, but I don't think he finished it.
I just never got into it.
I'll be honest with you.
It piqued my interest.
Not that, you know what, Zach, I have to say, I mean, for where I left off, I still would have interest to pick back up on it and watch it out. But what ruined it for me, well, actually, because I really want Jenna, because Jenna's on a roll here, kind of explaining it. Jen, can you finish and then I'll interject on it too?
Yeah, so
But I'm kind of on the agreement here with Zach, because I feel that vibe. That's the vibe I got at first.
Do you know how it ends?
Unfortunately, yes.
All right,
I mean,
so then I'm just going to say spoiled. It then. So,
go ahead.
As long as I'm not spoiling it for you then.
Yeah,
so,
no, go ahead.
My thing was, is that, like, there wasn't enough time to progress the character of Daenerys to the mental state that she was in the final season.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see enough progression of, like, the madness seeping in.
Mm-hmm.
There were, like, flicks and glimmers of it throughout the whole series, but that's just it. They were just, like, flicks and glimmers, and then all of a sudden it's like you flip a switch and it's like bum bum mm-hmm. bum, like crazy. And I don't know, it just, it wasn't okay for me. It even, like, the actors, said, like, they weren't thrilled with how the final season played out. And, like, two of, like one of the best, like, character arcs in the whole series, like, Cersei and her brother Jaime, like, they stayed at King's Landing when Daenerys invaded and the castle was, like, falling apart, and then, you know, Tyrion went to go and find their bodies in the castle, and guess what? They were covered under rock, but you know what? If they stood 4 feet to the right, they wouldn't have been, you know, avalanched upon. Like, just, okay. Just, like, I don't, it was just poorly done for me. The whole road to the ending. So, like, you know, the first couple seasons were, like, fantastic. But as soon as they started, like, chopping them down from, like, 10, because, like, mm-hmm. the last season should have been broken up into 2 seasons. That was 2 completely different, like, story arcs that you could have made, 2 separate seasons. And, but, like, once Benioff
might have made the show better.
Yeah, and it totally would
honestly.
Have.
Honestly.
And, like, it would have been, because a lot of people didn't believe, you know, Daenerys is the Mad Queen at the end. Mm-hmm. And it's because of, like, they poorly developed her character over the entirety of the show.
Okay.
So, if they had, like, you know, if we had more time, but, like, I feel like because at the time, Benioff and Weiss signed on for the next Star Wars project.
Okay.
So, I thank my stars every day that got ripped away from them.
At that time, would that have been, which movie would that have been in the Star Wars?
Like the next, like, so Taika Waititi is now taking helm of that movie that they were going to direct.
Correct. Okay.
So it's still whatever in the works, but now Taika is going to do it instead of Benioff and Weiss.
Gotcha. Okay.
So yeah, like not like, you know, the current ones that we've already seen. It's like an up and coming. So like they were like, you know, like, oh yeah, we're going to go to the Star Wars universe, but you know, we got to wrap up here. Okay. Game of Thrones, but like, let's do it quickly. And they're like, oh no, we always projected like this many episodes. It's like, that's a bunch of bullshit. Like, no.
True.
Just no. So it sort of ruined everything for me.
Well, if I could kind of get in there too, and I will give Zach a little chime in too. You know, that's the unfortunate thing is when we go back to Game of Thrones. Now, I was one of those people that got so far into it, and it was pretty good because, you know what, let's be honest.
You saw the good stuff.
Yeah, the way that people were talking about it and they were hyping about it, it was a good show. It was a good show, good season, another good season after that, another one. But it just seemed like right there at the end, it flatlined.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, was it a rush project to just finish it and be called quits for it, and that's the end of Game of Thrones? I don't know.
I think so, because, like, you have to remember that, so, like, I think it's, like, what, season 6, maybe? That's when they started getting, like, shortened, season 6, or was it just 7 and 8? It might have been just 7 and 8.
See, I didn't get the 6 or 7.
Okay, so 7 and 8 were the short ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, those are the 2 seasons, like, it kind of felt, like, rushed. Definitely a rushed project.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it's this huge, huge, huge battle. Like, actually, the Night King battle was actually bigger than the Battle of Helm's Deep. So, like, that's how big, like, the production ended up getting.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, maybe they just felt like they were in over their heads or something. I don't know. But they wrapped it up and they gave us, like, 7 episodes and then 6 episodes. Like, that could have been, like, 1 season in itself, you know? Like.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear you on that.
Nonsense.
I just think from, like, how you hear it from the fans, though, I mean, it's really unfortunate because I don't think I've met, and that's the beauty about it too. Let's be honest here, right? Game of Thrones really had a dedicated audience, dedicated following, just like how you have, just like a Star Wars following, just like a Marvel following. You know, Game of Thrones was big. That was big time. Mm-hmm. That was huge. So you got to give credit where credit's deserved. It was a very, very, a very entertaining piece of pop culture. And it had a great audience to it, but the unfortunate thing is that it just didn't deliver at the end for people.
Nope.
And I kind of feel like that's, you know what I'm kind of keeping that into comparison to? I kind of feel like that's like The Walking Dead. Yes. You know, like they've dragged their seasons on way too long, where now they've lost a lot of interest from people.
I agree.
To keep going.
I agree. I watched up to the point where Carl got a bullet to the head.
Actually, the last episode I watched. Actually, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that about Carl, because the last one I watched was the one that he died.
The last one that I watched was where Sasha died.
Damn, they both died? Jesus.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. Yeah.
Damn. Sasha died before, like, so I stopped watching before you guys stopped watching.
Sasha was my favorite character of The Walking Dead. Now I'm upset.
You would have had to have known that she was dead.
No, I didn't know. Sorry.
But she died while Carl was still alive.
Oh, that's even more upsetting. I thought Carl would die.
So you had
first.
To have seen that. No.
No, I haven't watched stopped. It.
That was like two seasons before like Carl and Rick. And that was everything.
That was your last episode, Jen?
Yeah. I had enough. Well, and like I used to watch like Fear the Walking Dead and I just
the only clip I've seen of Game of Thrones was when a girl like commanded the dragon to just burn them all down.
That's Daenerys. Yep. So that's what we were talking about with like the madness. Like, it'd be in a little cray-cray.
Yeah. Well, the guy was just like, yeah, well, she could speak the native language, and she was just like, yeah, that's
High
my mother
Valyrian.
Tongue.
Uh-huh. Yep.
It's the only clip I've seen of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that was when it was good, Zach. That was one of the best scenes of the show.
I'm glad I can remember something when I can't see straight.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
There you go. So it's the 10-year anniversary. If you guys want to watch the marathon, I'm sure it's on. But
I can't believe that's 10 years already.
Yeah,
it's
crazy. Since the premiere, not the end. Since, like, the start of Game of Thrones.
Right, right. But, I mean, that's still pretty damn crazy.
It is crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's like 10 years, like, poof, like that. Gone quick.
Yes, 100%.
But how about this now? There is another anniversary, because we're kind of keeping in the anniversary talk. So we'll just piggyback on this, right? Battlefront.
Yes.
How about
Battlefront
that?
2. It's the
4 years today it was released.
Yeah.
You're right, the trailer.
I just want to say before talks get into this, I just love how on a certain map, the AIs, which is, for anybody that don't know what AI is, a computer-controlled unit, can have Wookiees on that said map, but the players cannot have Wookiees on that said map. It's just great. So shout out to EA for being the absolute best gaming company to ever produce games in the entire existence of video games. I have said my piece. Continue.
I feel like you could have expressed a little bit of more. No, I'm just kidding. But I get your sense of aggravation because, like, the way that they did maps in that game, like, how many times have we even questioned it where you go through and it's like, wait a minute, I could play this character, but I can't play this one? Like,
yeah, it's not fair.
There's something wrong with that fucking picture, you know?
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but EA is the best company ever, ever releasing a video game.
I think you should put the Jim Beam down right now. No, you know what? It's kind of funny because the blessing about this going forward, now that we're still playing Battlefront 2. We like it. We do what we do with it. But there is a blessing moving forward because the next Battlefront is supposedly not in EA Games' hands, right?
Thank God. Yes.
So hopefully there'll be a big game change.
It's supposed to be made by a different company, so I hope it keeps the same kind of close mechanics, but I hope it's a little different.
I hope there's more option, though, like what we were just saying. Like, if you're able to play certain characters on a map and they're, let's just say they're part of Republic, they're part of Resistance, or they're part of the First Order, whatever alliances that they're going to add in there, you know, like, just give the variety, stick to the variety. If you could play one character in one map, make it playable for all.
I will say this. The only reason that the most recent Star Wars Battlefront 2 game is still even remotely popular today is because of its modding community. Its modding community is fantastic. Shout out to all you modders out there.
What's that?
So their modding community makes it so that they can play characters that's not in the original game. So it's basically a file that like alternates the game. So you can play like Ahsoka, you can play Pre Vizsla. Yes, you can play Jin.
Anybody. How do I get that?
You have to have PC.
I think that might be only for PC,
it's
right?
It's PC exclusive.
Like, do you guys remember that one time I was telling you they had, like, a release? It was a special offer. Like, it was a special... It was a special level that leaked into... And I don't know when this was, like, but I know that we missed the cutoff on it because they supposedly released Oda Gunga.
The Gungans, and, yeah.
Right. But I don't know if you were able to play as a Gungan character. I think you were only able to play, instead of being in Theed Naboo, the version, the alternative version would have been to play in Oda Gunga, which would have been the Gungan mm-hmm. city under, you know?
I wish we got and to play that, to be honest.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I remember that being on Twitter. People highlighted that, and it was like a one-time deal thing, you know?
Yeah. I wish we got to play that, but we weren't that lucky to play it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was before I started.
I was going to say, I think, to be honest with you guys, I don't think we were heavily involved in that game.
No.
At that time.
I don't think we were
either. Like, didn't you guys pick it up, like, on Christmas break?
Yeah.
I did, and then I told Zach about it, and then that's what we told you about it, and I mean the rest is history.
I also want to make it known to the public that is when, as soon as Matt made me known to the public, that is when I started playing better than Matt. So,
oh, you definitely have. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, games like that come natural to you. You're a natural gamer.
Sorry,
man.
I'm a gamer. What I do.
Dude, exactly. I mean, you're like the freaking cicada. You're the booming brood.
Matt,
You're the booming brood force.
Jesus.
You know?
Nobody cares about the bugs.
They're coming.
It doesn't matter. No one
they
cares.
Are, get I mean, fucking ready. I get your tennis rackets.
I
get your bug
say,
spray.
I just want to say this. I am a natural gamer. If you haven't checked out the YouTube or Twitter or Twitch, check out my Twitter. Links in my Twitter.
Yeah, lay that shit down, dude. Come on. Give us your plugins.
It's on my Twitter. At Phoenix43.
Okay. Phoenix43. Yes, there you go.
Perfect. YouTube, too? Do you want to put your YouTube down, too? Or?
Same thing.
Same thing?
It's in my Twitter. I don't have enough subscribers to make it my actual link, so.
Well, we'll get that going.
Yeah. Sorry, Jen. It takes me a minute to process things, okay?
That's all right.
That's quite all right.
Have some water.
Where do we go next?
So this brings us to our title card here. The main event.
I like how you said title card.
Yes. Well,
I think we should use that more often.
Well, it's Godzilla versus Kong, man. And like match of matches, this is the title fight.
One of my favorite movies of all time, by the way. I was not a fan of Skull Island, but I will say this was one of my favorite movies of all time.
And Jen, just to piggyback on him, I mean, this one actually entertained me more than King of Monsters and the first Godzilla.
No, right, right. But like, Zach is saying that this is his favorite movie, like one of his favorite movies.
No. I'm saying this is one of my favorite movies.
Right, in this franchise or in
of all time.
The entire universe? Oh my
of
god.
No, he's saying of all time.
See, that's insane to me.
But I said it was going to be a big blockbuster. I mean, I kind of got that vibes too.
Oh, which,
you know?
It definitely was. But is it in like my top 10? Probably not.
Before you guys start talking, and me clearly being the drunkest out of all three of us, I will say my piece before you start talking. My favorite part of that movie was when that bitch's daughter, yes, that is a donation, when that bitch's daughter got squashed by Kong. That was my favorite
in the car. Like the,
cars. Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite part.
So
she was an absolute bitch.
Before we get into the movie plot, so like, if you guys had to place bets prior to seeing the movie, who you got money on? Godzilla
Kong,
or
100%.
Kong?
Kong, 100%.
That was all Godzilla.
Nah, Kong, man.
Listen, anybody that goes up against a gorilla is just flat out stupid. So gorillas all the way.
Dude, Godzilla freaking beat him to a pulp. Twice.
Who ended up saving Godzilla? Yeah.
Well,
who ended up needing another Titan to save his ass?
Well, I'll be honest with you, yeah, I mean, that was a saving grace, right? But here's the thing, they couldn't do it without each other. That was the beauty of the movie, that they had to team up in order to take the mecha down.
Yeah, which
is 100%
stupid, but...
But Kong is definitely the superior Titan.
I mean, Mecha Streisand, man, she was whipping ass all over the place God, there. Matt. You know?
Listen,
no, but
I'm too drunk to be having this conversation in this argument. So, can we just all agree that Kong is superior than Godzilla?
Yeah,
I will give you this.
I'm 100%. Kong bows to no one, Matt.
Well,
and that was proven in the movie.
It was. It was. They said that
because Godzilla charged his axe to use, which then Kong used to chop up Mechagodzilla.
But that's what I'm saying, though. I mean, if it wasn't for Zilla to goddamn charge up the weapon, they would have been at a, they would have been having a more aggressive standstill there, trying to get the mecha down, you know. And I like that's why I said they both needed each other to end the fight. And then of course,
I'm not
my favorite part.
That. I'm just saying.
Yeah, my favorite part was him with his walk off.
Is the
you
superior
know?
Titan?
His walk off was like, yeah, man. You know what? Heads to you. My nod. My cap off to you. I think we could coexist. And thanks.
Which is proof that Godzilla is the superior Titan.
That's what I'm saying. I think Godzilla is the king of monsters. I'm sorry. Yeah. And I'm not saying Kong is powerful. Kong is big. And like I said, I'm still going to be in more favor for my Zilla.
Listen,
you know, I love Godzilla.
Kong took down Samuel L. Jackson, so.
And listen,
oh, come
anybody
on.
That takes down Mace Windu is superior. So.
Oh, he was a pussy.
Matt!
I don't know about that.
He was not. Listen, I thoroughly enjoyed Skull Island. I don't care if you guys
I
thought it
was
fun. I
honestly
was
not a fan of Skull Island, but
we got
this
Mace
newer
Windu,
one was
Nick Fury, you know? We got Captain Marvel
there.
And Loki all in the same film. And John C. Reilly from the Nova Corps.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
A Marvel
actually,
meetup.
That's good Marvel meetup. Yeah, that's good trivia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I forgot about John C. Reilly.
Yes.
Uh huh.
Yeah, he survived his plane
he
crash.
He did. And he got returned home to his. He did get returned to his family, but they were.
Yes.
I think his kids were older now.
Well, yeah, because a million years have passed, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But. Yeah, no, it was a good movie. I loved every minute of it, and of course, how about hats off to our Stranger Things stars in there, huh?
Oh, yeah, Eleven.
Oh, God. I loved seeing her in there. I thought she was cool. She played a really
Millie
good role.
Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was good in the last one, too.
Yeah, yeah, she was. I dig her. I love what she does. And, you know, that's kind of cool because, like, you know, if you just look at her for her Netflix stardom, I mean, it just shows that this girl could be such a big hit on the big screen, you know?
Yeah, there was a couple, you know, big names in this one. Alexander Skarsgård on Team Kong.
Yep.
I love him. His father, Stellan Skarsgård, who's he's in the Thor franchise.
The Thor franchise, yep.
Yeah.
I can't remember the kid. Do you remember the one that was in Deadpool 2?
Yes, that was Josh.
I can't think of his name. Yeah. But that was cool seeing him because I actually liked him as the sidekick to Millie.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh huh.
That was pretty cool.
That was fun.
He had that comical role where, like, he's got those liners. Like, I could just feel like that kid could be placed in any type of a movie. And it actually
and give,
does like, kind of go.
Comedic relief. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what's actually kind of funny? I don't know if anybody saw the Christmas movies with Kurt Russell. What was it? The
Christmas Chronicles.
The Christmas Chronicles.
No, I did not see them.
He's actually in the second one, and he plays, like, a mischievous, exiled Christmas elf.
Okay.
It's actually pretty, it's funny, Jenna. If you watch those before the holiday hits this year.
Maybe next
Zach,
year,
same
yeah.
thing. I'm telling you, it's cute for the kids, it's cute for, like, the young crowd, but, like, for us adults, the humor is there, and it's just funny. It is.
I'm gonna be flat on honest with you, Matt.
Go ahead.
Probably have to remind me tomorrow, because I'm probably not gonna remember this.
Okay, remind Zach about Christmas Chronicles and to get more Jim Beam. Milk, eggs, bread. No, wait, that's my list. Moving on, though.
Like, I'm just going to say, like, the Audacity program that I have opened up right now looks to me like it's on my second monitor when it's on my main, so.
Yeah, those aren't your life vitals, so that's
life
your voice.
Oh, my God. Flatline. Zach, you're losing it.
No, that's when you lose connection. That's when somebody hits a pole out inside in front of your house.
So, like, getting back to the film.
Go ahead.
I really thought that the plot was good.
I did, too.
We finally
got
to see, you know, the Hollow Earth theory unfold, which was huge.
That was introduced.
Huge. Do you think that those flying things are like a version of those skull crushers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought so too. Like an old ancestor maybe. I was also really, 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 really hoping for there to be like more Kongs on the Hollow Earth.
It's where the cicada came from.
Matt, it is not.
Listen, I'm going to put it into this right now. Shut up about your stupid fucking cicada, okay?
End of You're going to thank me.
No, no. End. End. E-N-D of discussion about that. They are coming. No. Don't listen to Matt. No. But I was hoping there wasn't going to be more Kongs because I was really hoping... I have a reasoning of that. I feel like if he realized that his family wasn't there anymore, that he was going to become a stronger Titan, which ended up being true.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if he realized that he was the only one, he would realize that he's fighting for something more than just the Earth. Like, he was fighting for who his people were.
He's keeping the legacy
exactly
alive
monster. Well, I don't want to call it the monster kind, but he's keeping his legacy and
he's keeping the legacy his family of alive. His family and his giant gorilla family alive.
Yeah, I still wanted to see a family like little baby Kongs. Oh, that would have been so cute.
I'm not denying they would be cute, but in the sake of the...
Oh, God, sorry about that. I'll get that out of there.
Really interrupted. Thanks, Matt. For the sake of the storyline, I feel like it was the best way possible. Like, I'm not denying they would be cute, Jenna, but it just worked out.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys, because Jenna did touch base on the storyline, and now that you come back to the connecting of the storyline, how everything ended... I will give you this, and I think that's why I actually glue myself better to this movie, where it's like, I actually like it a smidge more than King of the Monsters and that original Godzilla film. There was something about this that I really loved. Yeah.
That was I think that was her breakout film.
I think it was. Yeah. I don't think that was her introduction. I don't think that was her introduced movie, but that was a big breakout for her, because then that opened the door for Marvel for her, too.
It did, yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. And what was it, too? Even, what's his name? The guy who played Quicksilver. Remember?
Pietro?
Yeah, remember? He was in the first one. He was the one that played in the Age of Ultron. Something Aaron Taylor, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he was in Godzilla?
He was in the first Godzilla with Bryan Cranston. The first Godzilla film. He played like a Marine.
So Lizzie's husband. Oh, yeah, that was her husband. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
remember?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was her
but
husband.
But I'm wondering if that was his big blockbuster introduction, you know?
No.
We'll have to look into that.
I know he was in Kick-Ass.
Oh my God, you're right. Yeah. Holy shit. Oh my God, I fucking forgot.
I think he was in stuff before that though. Like
by the way.
I think Kick-Ass was his
like
breakout film.
$6 for donation.
But like I don't know what his like earlier stuff is, but like I remember him in Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
So like
Now that you mention it, yep.
Yeah. I don't know, you know, if there's anything before that. That's my first remembrance, Kick-Ass and Kick-Ass 2.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. 100%.
Yeah. Usually.
All right. So can we wrap up on Godzilla vs. Kong?
Yeah, so besides, like, a good story, nice actors, I really thought that the cinematography and the CGI was absolutely stunning. Mm-hmm. The colors were beautiful. The Hollow Earth was, like, perfection.
That was incredible special effects.
That was, like, everything that I, like, dreamed of in the theory, and it was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I even thought, like, you know, like, technically speaking, like, even, like, the underwater fight scene, like, everything was just, like, seamless for me. So, I don't know, I really enjoyed the film. I really liked it. I thought it was fun, and it's definitely, definitely worth a watch, I would say.
100%.
Yeah, so I think now's probably a good time for us to take a little break-ski.
Yeah, definitely.
And sit tight, guys, and we'll be right back.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Nice that you could all join us. Well, at this point, where we want to go into our next gen, I'm using your phrase here, title card, we are going to talk about the Falcon into the Winter Soldier, because we're still continuously watching this. It is still big. And of course, we're trying to keep up with that update to update type deal every week here now on the podcast until it concludes. So pretty much this episode is rounding out
four
what's
and
happened.
Five.
Yeah, four and five.
Four and five. So
I'm
going to
let you start
series.
This. Yeah, I am too. And
number
you
one,
know what?
Like, not to say like how attracted to Sebastian Stan I am, but, you know, I thoroughly enjoy that I get to see, you know, a 6-hour mini movie with Sebastian Stan in it. That always makes me quite pleased.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, everybody has their love, their interests.
Yeah.
But I will say, do you remember when I was not hellbent on this? I actually said that I was getting pissed with this show.
Yeah, you hated it in the beginning.
I hated it in the beginning. It was like, man, is this just going to be a therapy session between frickin' Sam and frickin' Bucky? Like, what are we doing here? You know, like, let's cut the crap cake here and let's get down to fucking business, you know? But no, I like that it picked up. You know what? I'm going to give a comparison here. Maybe Zach will chime in on this too. But it was kind of like WandaVision. If you guys remember how we kind of started off with WandaVision,
it
kind of was slow in the beginning.
It was not slow. You guys are all insane. You're incorrect.
I believe it was. It felt like the freaking black and white sitcom. You know, what were we getting at? It took the third episode to kick in, and I kind of feel like it took the third episode for the Falcon and Winter Soldier to kick in, you know?
I disagree. I think it's been great since right out of the gates.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I will agree. The last episode was fantastic.
Four and five, yeah.
Oh, four and five mm-hmm. for the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just concluded on that, by the way, in the evening.
Yeah, I just got to work today.
Yeah, I just got to watch it too. So last night, that was my duty.
I thoroughly enjoyed the fact that the new Captain America got his ass beat.
I don't like to refer to him as Captain America.
He's not. He's John Walker.
I don't either, but I can never remember his name, so I'm just going to refer to him as Captain America.
That's disrespectful.
Those damn posters. You see what they do to people?
Cap is back. Yeah, my ass
no,
is back.
No, Cap's a bitch.
Yeah.
Now he is.
The new Captain.
Somebody's been sipping on Grandma's cough medicine.
That's actually
too
where the new title of our episode comes from. Give it back, bitch.
Yes.
You know, referencing Captain America's shield.
Yes. So, totally forgot that. Yep.
Yeah. So in episode 4, you know, we see Walker doing some shady shenanigans, and he takes, you know, the serum.
He does.
He takes the super soldier serum, and then he ends up beating a guy to death with a shield.
Mm-hmm.
Which you don't do.
You don't. We have never seen blood on that shield ever when, you know, mm-mm. obviously Chris Rogers, or Steve Rogers.
Chris Rogers.
Yeah, Chris Evans. No, we have never seen Steve
Rogers,
the real deal Captain America, ever spill blood on that shield. And, you know, that was the true point of being the hero element. No matter what you were faced with in the most extremity, he didn't resort to violence or death in his heroic aspects.
Yes.
This guy was a loose cannon. He kind of broke off. And it just shows that I feel that there's a little bit of sense of unstableness, that he's not fit for the job. He is not the hero type. He is not Captain America.
No, he's not. He's a good soldier.
He's a good soldier, right. But he is not.
But, like, if we flash back to, you know, Captain America, the first uh-huh. Avenger, the scientist guy, I don't remember his name.
Are we talking about the one that worked for Red Skull?
No. No, the scientist that gave Steve the serum.
Oh, the serum.
He said that the next Captain America, after Steve, would not be a good soldier, but a good man.
So maybe there will be something promising at the end of this.
Well, so episode 4 is essentially like we get to see of like the rise and fall of John Walker. I feel like that's how I would summarize the whole episode 4, because like, you know, crazy things happen. The Flag Stompers.
Yeah.
The Flag Stompers, they kill his best friend. So he just goes off the rails. And then we come to episode 5, which I was greatly looking forward to this one. Because, like, I know, Zach, when we talked about it yesterday, you were calling it, like, a filler episode. But, like, I love just, like, the normalcy of, like, you know, these Avengers. They're fixing Sam's family's boat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just everyday, normal tasks. They take back the shield from John, give him a nice beat down. He goes home with his tail between his legs. He has to, you know, go in front of, what was it, like the Supreme Court, like somebody. And they,
the
like,
committee.
Yeah,
the it was committee. Something committee.
And they, like, strip him of his titles, and they do a less than honorable discharge from the military. And so, like, you kind of see John Walker here at his all-time, I would say, like, low. So then we have our first big reveal of the episode.
Okay.
And then in walks who? Who walks in with her little black boots?
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
So,
oh, God. And you know what I yelled to here? It was kind of funny. When she came into the room, I was like, Seinfeld.
Yeah, so it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Yeah. I think that's how you say her name. Yeah. She was in Seinfeld. Yeah. She was in Veep, which was amazing and hilarious if anybody wants a good show. But so we are introduced to Countess Valentina Allegra de Fontaine.
Countess.
So, pop quiz. Who is she? Does anybody know who she is?
No, but I know you're going to tell us.
I'm going to tell you. So, in the comics, she's like a triple agent, and she's Madame Hydra. So.
Okay. And you know what? I didn't want to say anything, right?
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest with you, I didn't know for sure, and I didn't have time to search this. But one thing that stuck out at me when she was talking, and the way that she was talking, it was kind of not manipulative, but she's, you know, the thing that really started at me when I was looking at her, there was two things going through my mind. Number one, Seinfeld. She had, right, number one was Seinfeld. Number two, that streak in her hair, what was that, like a purple?
Yeah.
Okay. Two things that came up to mind to me. Oh my God. Is she a witch?
No, she's not a witch.
But I'm just saying, is she a witch? Or number two, I'm thinking into the comic books because there was a tie-in. And I remember, and I just didn't think that far into it because there's no mention of Spider-Man. There's no mention of anything Peter Parker yet. No. It's so early, there wouldn't be anything to name drop that. But there was an animated series episode where Captain America teamed up with Spider-Man on the Fox Kids Network.
Okay.
And this is going back to the cartoon in the 90s, and Madam Web was the one that deployed the mission for Spider-Man to work with Captain America.
Okay.
And it was a time travel episode where Cap and Spider-Man had a team up to obviously manipulate something. And then this led into the Doctor Strange and the Dormammu episodes. My brother would know exactly what I'm talking about because that was one of his favorites, where it was the Carnage series where they broke him out and Carnage was working for Dormammu.
Okay.
And then Spider-Man had no help. He had no other resources. So who did he go to? Eddie Brock, a.k.a. Venom. Venom to fight Carnage, and that became the Maximum Carnage series.
Okay.
So it was kind of a cool, but I was thinking that. My two things that I said was Seinfeld, and number two, oh my God. Is this Madam Web?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, that could be a possibility. But, like, with her name drop, though.
But they didn't reference her. I mean, they didn't reference... I mean, obviously, they're not dropping Madam Web. But where you get, like, that Countess, like, that's where it started thinking. Like I said, was she part witch? Was this anything trying to tie into the WandaVision?
No.
But then, like I said, that's where I started thinking. That purple streak is, you know, because she uniquely identifies, like, if you look at the comic book pictures of Madame Web, she uniquely has that streak of hair where it's identifiable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that what's going to happen is, so here's what my predictions are, because there was another huge drop in the episode towards the end.
Uh-huh.
So, with, you know, Madame Hydra being dropped, I think, and like, so nobody has said if there's going to be another, what am I trying to say? Another season of this or not, but I hope to God there is.
I think there should be.
I would love there to be. So
yeah.
If there is going to be another, another season, I think that with all of the other stuff that's gone on that we've seen, like with the Flag Smashers and everything, I think that Leviathan is coming.
Ooh!
Because Madame Hydra is a part of Leviathan.
Yeah.
And so when she keeps saying, like, you know, she said to Walker, like, we, like, are essentially, like, looking for you for, like, to recruit you. So, like, her organization. So, like, there's not many, you know, organizations still left. Because, like, as of right now, Hydra's technically, like, dead.
I still think this plays into the theory, though, that Hydra could be revived.
It sure can.
It very well can be. And you know what? We really don't know that for sure. Even though that they say that it is ridded, how do we know that there's not a secret operative that is keeping Hydra safe?
But my only thing is because everything is sort of set in, like, Europe, that's what makes me think it's Leviathan. Because that's, like, you know, Russian, like, the Russian group.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Like, abroad, and, like, you know, like, she's Countess, so, like...
Western Europe, East Asia.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, so, I don't know, I think Leviathan might be coming, because also, the other big thing that was dropped in this episode, which I'm not sure, like, if you guys feel the same way, but we also get to see Sharon Carter again.
Yes, we do.
You have any theories about her? Because I do.
Well, here, I'll be honest with you. Let me just kind of go back to what you're saying about here, about the villainous roles coming up.
Yeah.
I think how these episodes are playing out, we are going to get a revival of Red Skull. And it's, and again, you're going to have to let me do a little research on this to find out what the technical term was. But before there was an initiative, there was a Red Mercenary or a Red Warrior. And it was supposed to be in opposition against a new Captain America.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the term was, but I have to go back and research it. I kept on saying, I think it was Red Mercenary.
Yeah,
I don't
think we were talking about that before.
We were searching it, but we couldn't find it. And the thing about this is that, you know, in comic books, this is the beauty of it, because there's so much connection and story that does come to the, you know, the storylines that they put together in these Marvel shows and these Marvel movies. But the big thing about this is that, you know, if we're looking at John Walker, it doesn't rule out the possibility that there's a potential awakening of a new Red Skull. And maybe that this connection of Madame Hydra that you're talking about is going to be the revival of John Walker to be the new leader of Hydra, the new Red Skull.
Right.
That is where I think we're going to be going in the direction. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to see that because we're only going to get 6 episodes in the season because of what COVID did to... It does. But I think what you're saying is that they have to do another season on this so that we have understanding and finishing to it.
Yeah, unless there's, like, you know, something for the bigger picture.
Unless it goes to movies. Mm-hmm. Unless it goes to movies. Yep. But I think there's more to the big picture here.
So, speaking of big picture, so we still obviously have to, like, close with episode 6. But...
Yeah, we do.
I think Sharon's the power broker.
You think she's playing power broker?
Yeah, because, like, so, I don't know if you remember, like, episode 2 or 3, when Carly keeps mentioning the power broker's in charge, and she spoke to the power broker. I think Sharon's the power broker.
But yet, she's the one that's trying to help.
Well, I don't think she really is. So
you think she's becoming villainous because of maybe the betrayal of the government?
Yes, I do.
So this goes against completely. And you know what? Maybe this is a love story crush too to her too, because
let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
So when she was shown in her like room, I don't know, there's a whole bunch of like expensive art pieces. So apparently she's got her hands on a shit ton of money somehow. She refuses to come back to the United States with Steve and Bucky and Sam.
Yeah, she kind of downplays
the
party.
She won't do it. So there's also a moment that she's talking to somebody on the phone. And she says, I have a job for you and I can pay you double. Also solidifies that she's got a ton of money laying around. All of those art pieces are very expensive. And usually somebody is called like an art broker. So, like, an art dealer, whatever. So, I think she's the power broker because that person that she was having a conversation with was speaking French on the phone.
Interesting.
So, the next scene, who do we see come and meet Carly? That guy that speaks French.
Speaks French.
And he's after Sam.
And,
And he was in the first scene of, like, you know, the Winter Soldier. He's that guy. I don't know his name.
Well, I think it's just a hired mercenary right now.
No, he has a name.
Does he?
Yeah, it starts with an L. I don't remember if it's like, I'd have to go back and look.
I wish I paid attention to that.
Yeah, so like she's talking to somebody speaks French, and then he shows up, and he's the guy that's after Sam. He wants to kill Sam.
Okay.
Because, like, earlier in the season, Sam went after, like, those guys. Like, in the first couple episodes. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I hear you. Zach, you still here with us, buddy?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. No, I mean, do you have anything to add to it? I mean, because you watched the episode, right?
I agree with Jenna.
Mm-hmm.
Power broker.
You guys are on the power broker story.
Yeah, I think she's behind of a lot of the doings.
Man, this is going to be crushing.
Yeah, which like sucks.
I hate to see it, I hate to see it. But at the same token, I mean, it kind of builds story to what happened. I mean, if she feels denial and betrayal of the government and they exiled her. And not only that, maybe there has something to do here with Captain America too. Yeah. I mean, there was a love interest there at first, remember? Back in it wasn't Civil War, it was the Winter Soldier.
It was Winter Soldier.
Yeah. And I think in that aspect too, maybe there's, you know, maybe she kind of caught wind of that where
but
it was
that,
like
that wasn't real though. That wasn't real. She was placed as a fake nurse to keep an eye on Steve. And then she's Peggy's niece.
Peggy's niece.
Yeah. So that wasn't real.
I know, but it's that sense, though. I mean, you never know what emotions could catch up to you and play on you, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that was real.
I mean, though. I don't think that's going to be the pivotal piece, but I think more so the fact that she had everything going for her. You know, her job being in the U.S. government and everything like that, and then how everything just turned so, you know, backwards. You know, maybe that's going to be the part where they betray me, now I betrayed them. I know there's no coming back, and this is exactly who I am now. Yeah, maybe you're right. See, maybe this has...
That's what I think.
It's either that or... I mean, my dad was saying, you know, he thinks that, you know, maybe she becomes the next Captain America. And I said, I doubt that. Because, I mean, I think all signs are kind of pointing now towards where we see that Sam is really trying to learn the reins of harnessing that shield.
Yeah, that's where we leave the episode, which I was really looking forward to see, like, what the Wakandans cooked up for him in his suit. Mm-hmm. But that's where they ended it, and I was like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, I hope Sam becomes the next
He's going
Captain
to.
America.
He left the wings.
Yeah. He dropped the wings and keep the shield. That's what it is. And that's what we needed.
Yeah. So, hopefully, you know, I think Sam's got his priorities straight and, you know, he's given Bucky some tough love. So, hopefully we'll see some progression with his mental health there.
Yep.
So, he helped, you know, the Wakandans take in Zemo, which was good.
That's right.
So, Io, she was back again.
Freaking hate Zemo, by the way.
Why? Ugh. He's a good dancer.
He's a good dancer. God, no, his character just annoys the shit out of me.
I like him. And I liked how he was, like, the good guy for now, so.
Well, right, he plays the good guy for now, but he's gonna be the piss stain later, you know?
Yeah, but he didn't try to kill Bucky, though, so that's development on his part.
Well, you know why he probably wouldn't kill Bucky? Because once you're my project at one point, you're my project at another.
Well,
you never know that I could revive it.
To kill the super soldiers. That's his whole mission.
Right, he used Bucky to do that. The whole initiative of the Winter Soldier, if we go back into that movie, that was his plan. That was his weapon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, yes, I mean, Captain America is a super soldier. I mean, you got to get rid of him where you get rid of the other, what was it, 9 or 8 in the freaking tanks. And he did. I mean, back in that movie where, you know, they arrived at site, what, the bullet holes were in the tanks,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So he succeeded on those, but he did not succeed killing off the original Captain America, the original serum.
Right. So I think that's why he was willing to help them, though. But, like, you know, like, they kind of, I don't want to say, like, made amends at the end of the movie, but they kind of did.
They did.
Not the movie. So.
Tread lightly, though.
Mm-hmm.
Tread lightly. Keep alert. You never know when bullshit comes out.
Mm-hmm. So, well, he's going to some sort of Wakandan prison. The Raft, I think she called it.
It's the Raft, yeah.
I don't know what that is.
It's an isolated place. Okay. You're surrounded by water and no...
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
There's no escape. You're between four walls and an imprisoned cell. There's water around you. No way about.
Makes sense, so...
Yep.
That's where he will live out his days.
He will.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to the final episode. I think this show has been fire from start to finish.
Fire! No, you're right, Jen. I do. I think it from start to finish, man. I just wish I was a little bit more receptive in the beginning to it. Like, I mean, everybody has their opinions.
Yeah, like,
you know?
Who knows? You might go back and watch them again and decide you love them because you know what's happening, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, that was kind of like Breaking Bad. You know, that first season of Breaking Bad was so awful to watch because it was so dry the first 4 episodes. But then when I went back to it and I said, you know what, I'm going to give it a second chance. And I fell in love with the series. It's one of my top 10 series of all time. I love Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Walter White. I mean, holy shit. If you want to binge watch a freaking show and enjoy it from start to finish, watch Breaking Bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yep. So, for the good of the group, do we have anything to conclude on?
No, I have said my piece for the night.
Okay. I just want to let everybody know that I got a couple scratch tickets here tonight, and I did win $200 on a $30 Monopoly ticket. That was pretty good.
Of course, you know? Matt won. Why would Matt not win?
$200 winner, so I can't wait to go to Cousins tomorrow and cash that fucker in.
I can't wait to go to bed.
Wasted. Big time, baby.
Anybody else got anything before we call it a night?
Negative.
Alright, everybody, that's gonna wrap us up for the evening, so stick with us next week. We've got some special episodes in the works coming for you.
We do. Yep, we have an episode coming up next week with Gordon Fraser. Stay tuned with that. He is a gamer, so Zach, you'll definitely love chiming in on those conversations and getting involved. I'm sure there's some good topics that you guys could kind of go back and forth between because he's going to come in. He's going to give us some some detail about what he's following right now in esports and some of the games that he's paying attention to. And then that following week, that would go into May 1st, we have Lucia and Glenn Murphy coming out with us.
Mm-hmm. We do.
So, yep.
So we got some exciting things in the works, so stick with us, guys, and we'll talk to you all again next week.
Bye-bye now.
Bye, guys.